30 years ago, which is a long time ago, I had a friend, and she had, I thought it was a t-shirt, but I think it was a button that she would wear on her black leather jacket. And it said, garbage in, garbage out. And that was the first time I had heard that statement. But it is a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual law that whatever we put in will come out of our lives. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, it tells us whatever we sow into our lives, we will also reap. It's true in the physical world. Those of you who are gardeners and you plant your garden, if you have, let's say you're going to plant cucumbers and you're going to do it from seed, and you plant cucumber seeds, you are going to reap or harvest cucumbers. Because if you plant cucumber seeds, you cannot harvest watermelons or apples or strawberries or bananas or roses or anything else but a cucumber. And so whatever we sow or we put into ourselves, into our lives, that's what's going to come out. We're going to reap that. In our physical bodies, if we put unhealthy food in our physical bodies, we are going to reap bad health. Now, I learned that from experience with the diet that I grew up on. From especially my junior high and high school years, when you eat donuts for breakfast and a donut at milk break and Dorito chips and a Pepsi for lunch, and then you go home and have a ding-dong and a Pepsi, it's not really healthy. And I am still suffering consequences from putting unhealthy food in my body all those years. However, if we eat healthy food, we're going to reap good health. And I can also testify of that when I completely changed my diet, how much better I feel and how some of the things are being undone now and good is coming from that. So it's just a fact. It's just a law. And what is true in the physical realm is so much more true in the spiritual realm. And so whatever we see with our eyes and hear with our ears and allow into our minds, that will affect us spiritually for good or for bad. So tonight, I want to look at several different verses, and I'm going to have you flip around because it's always good to see the words with our eyes. But our main one is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So if you turn there, Colossians 3. If, or since then, you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Very, very important verse. To set our mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. It's so important for us as Christians to set our minds on the things above, because if we don't and we do the opposite, then what we are putting into our lives, we're sowing to the flesh. And in Galatians 6, it tells us that if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. So by sowing good things and allowing good things into our minds, we will reap a bountiful harvest of healthy, good fruit. Something that each one of us can do for ourselves for good is to set our mind, because it begins there, to set our mind on the things above. And it is interesting that the beginning of this chapter, because later on, Paul writes about putting off and putting on, which we'll talk about, but he starts with our minds, placing our minds on the things that are above, or the things that are spiritual, eternal, true, good. Because the thoughts that we dwell on, and if you take notes, would you please write this down? And maybe if you don't take notes and you have a pen and a paper, you probably will want to write it down, not because it's something profound that I made up, but this is such a good truth. The thoughts we dwell on will determine our behavior and develop our character. So the thoughts that we dwell on will determine our behavior and develop our character. Now, if we left tonight at this point and you had that truth right there and you took a walk with that and you talked to the Lord about that and you meditated on that, it would change your life. That is how true that is, and how good and right that is. Proverbs 4:23, most of us probably know this verse that I just went blank on. Guard your heart above all things, because out of it flow or spring the issues of life. Okay, so we've studied that before. Guard our hearts. The Good News Bible translation, which I really like, says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs 4:23 in the Good News Bible. So you can look that up later. Look it up in other translations too, but I like that. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That verse reinforces what you think on will determine your behavior and develop your character. Whatever you sow, you will reap. So much of the battle that we face against the enemy and against our own selves is in our mind, in our thoughts. Has anyone ever had to battle their thoughts? Yeah. Probably no one in the room has never had to do that. I mean, there's not a person alive that can think pure and holy and righteous thoughts all the time. There is always a battle. It seems to be more of a battle for women, and it seems to be, for some women, even more of a battle in their mind. So turn over to 2 Corinthians, because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is a very good 3 through 5, very good verses, 3 through 6 actually, for us to memorize and to live by. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, or we live in this flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is the key. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all the disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But that bringing every thought into captivity, setting our minds on the things above. The New Century Version in in verse 5 there, translates it as, we capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. Capture every thought, make it give up and obey Christ. That's setting our minds on the things above and putting good things into our minds. So we're to take any and all thoughts that come against Christ, come against his truth, come against his ways, and we are to arrest that thought. We're to bring that thought captive, to imprison it, to take the key and lock it and toss the key. You're not getting out of here. You've been arrested. You don't have free rein anymore. So any thought that is against the Lord, against his truth, so any evil thought, any thought that's ungodly, that's unrighteous, that's unholy. It can include all kinds of things, but any kind of fantasy, and women tend to do that. Any kind of thing that it doesn't look like Jesus. Covetousness thoughts, rebellious thoughts, lustful thoughts, fearful thoughts. Doom, thoughts of doom, all those kind of thoughts that are not, that they go against God's truth, God's nature, against who he is and what he has planned for us, what he's trying to do in our lives. When these thoughts come against that, we are to immediately arrest the thought, bring it into captivity. Anything negative, anything that Jesus would not say, would not do, or wouldn't think. Because if we don't, if we allow them to stay, and if we revisit them, we talk to them, we think them over, then eventually they determine our behavior. And they develop our character. They shape us rather than the Lord shaping us and his truth. So further in this chapter, he tells us that we are to put off and then we are to put on. So beginning in verse 5 in Colossians 3. Therefore... okay, we're set our minds on the things above and not on the earth. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. They were a part of our lives before we knew the Lord. Heavy part. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, lying to one another. So we're to put all of those things off. Flip over to Ephesians, because in Ephesians 4, it also tells us some things that we are supposed to put off. In Ephesians 4, verse 22... we're to put off concerning our former conduct, our old way of life, that the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust. Verse 25, we're to put away any lying. Verse 31, we're to let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, everything put off. So between those two lists, and in Galatians, which talks about the works of the flesh, any kind of fornication. Now, this may seem like a strange study. I mean, you walk in there, you're like, whoa, I was not planning on this. This is a little heavy. But we have a point here. And it's a good practical thing. But so fornication, which is any sexual activity outside of marriage, it has no place in a Christian's life. We need to put that off. Uncleanness, which means moral or sensual uncleanness. So anything that's not pure and holy in those areas, we put off. Passion, which it speaks about sexual lust, we are to put off. Any kind of evil desire, we are to put off. Covetousness, which tends to be an acceptable sin, but it's not acceptable in God's eyes, we're to put that off. And covetousness is this, I want. Any anger, we are to put off. Wrath, that explosive, hot-tempered anger, we are to put off. Any malice, which is a desire to do wrong to others. Those little snippy remarks or attitudes, we are to put off. Blasphemy, that injurious speech against God or against other people. Hurtful speaking. Any filthy language, coarse jesting, bad and jokes, any lying, half-truths, exaggerations, anything that leads others to believe something that is not true. Stealing, bitterness, all those things he's telling us, put off, put off, put off, put off. They're a part of our human nature. We're all born with those tendencies. Some of those you're just thinking, well, it's not me, but it may be somebody else. What you struggle with, somebody else doesn't struggle with. We're all human. We're all fleshly. These are temptations. These are thoughts. These are things that we all need to put off. They're going to be there because we are not perfected yet, but they shouldn't be active. And we certainly should not be encouraging them and feeding them, because whatever you sow, you will reap. And it starts with our mind. It starts with our thoughts. The temptation to get upset, the temptation to covet, the temptation to lust, the temptation to fantasize, the temptation to fear, all those kind of temptations, they begin with a thought. They don't just appear and you do them. It starts in our mind. We're thinking about them. But what we do with the temptation is our choice. You've heard that said, you can't prevent a bird or a little bug flying in your hair, but you can prevent that bug or that bird to make a little nest in there. You get rid of it. I mean, are we going to walk around with a bird in our head or a bug? What happens when somebody says you have a bug in your hair? Half of us scream and want it out immediately. And that's really the reaction we should have with the thought. Get out of here. I arrest you. You know, lock you up, toss you out. So these works of the flesh are these things that we're supposed to put off. And again, it does not matter who you are. It does not matter how long you've walked with the Lord. These are things that everybody, every Christian battles with and has to put off. And it's not just a one-time deal. It's your whole life. I think about Achan in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, when the children of Israel were coming into the promised land and they were coming and fighting the enemy and conquering the enemy to take possession of what God has given them. And God said, you go in here, you wipe these people out, wipe out the enemy, don't touch their stuff. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. He didn't want them doing this to gain all the riches and all of those things. He had plans for that later. He can bless them later. But right now, don't touch it. Achan, though, they went in, and the first thing it says about Achan is that he saw, which what happens when we see something produces a thought. I don't know that we can look at anything without thinking, unless you're a man. You know, that's not a cut. But sometimes, you know, you can ask a man, what are you thinking about? And they say, nothing. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, is that, do they really, are they, I don't understand. Because even when I say that, I have already thought of probably 50 thoughts. You know, kind of a thing. So, Achan saw, so it means he thought about it. He then coveted, it said. I saw, I wanted, I coveted. That's a second thought. That's a third thought. That's not arresting the thought. And then his thoughts determined his behavior. He took it. He grabbed it and he took it. And then he died. His ended in death. But we see somebody else in the Old Testament, a very spiritually mature person, King David, who had a relationship with the Lord. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. I mean, he just had such a soft, tender heart and a wonderful relationship with the Lord. But he forgot, neglected, purposely, to not set his mind on the things above. Because when he was outside on the roof one night, when he should have been out at battle with the rest of the men, he looked over in the distance and saw a woman bathing. He saw. There's nothing you can do about seeing something. But that produced a thought. The thought was not arrested. The thought was a second thought and a third thought. And the thought became an action. Hey, go find out about her. So he saw and he sent, he inquired. Then he took. And then he laid with her. His thought determined his behavior. We see how important it is, no matter who we are, how long we've walked with the Lord, to arrest the thought immediately. And it's not, it can be a sexual thought, a coveting thought, be anger, it can be hate, it can be, I mean, all kinds of things. That are just simply not godly. Now, when I was a new Christian, I learned this very early on in my walk. Had very good teaching. And I devoured the Bible when I became a new Christian. So I wanted to learn. And I was taught these things. You have to put off. You have to put off. You have to put off. But I got stuck. And I got stuck on the putting off because my focus was on the putting off. Whether that was the emphasis of the teaching or not, I don't remember. I just know with me, that's where I got stuck. Putting off. Oh, yeah, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't say that. Oh, I can't feel that. I can't think that. I can't. So my whole walk became a I can't do that. No, get away from me, you know, kind of a thing. And so, what happens? You get tempted. Then you feel like it's your fault. Okay, I saw that. Okay, I thought that. And now you're thinking about the fact that you thought that. And then you snowball down, and then you don't take your thoughts into captivity immediately. And then I walked around feeling defeated and a failure. I'm trying, you know, I've always had a battle with my mind, but you're battling that. Well, why am I thinking that? Well, I don't know why I'm thinking that. Well, you shouldn't think that. Well, I don't know how to stop thinking about that. You know, all those kind of conversations that you can have. Okay, I've got to stop. You know, kind of, and there was no victory there. It's kind of the, you know, the Romans chapter 7 thing, you know, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the bad that I don't want to do, I do. Woe is me, what am I going to do? You know, kind of a thing. I was filled with the Spirit. I just didn't know how to yield to the Spirit, and I didn't put my focus on putting on. It was on the putting off, what I'm not to do. So I was still a fairly new Christian when we moved to Modesto and started the church. And the Lord gave Damien, he was teaching on the putting off and putting on. And the Lord gave him a wonderful visual demonstration of this that I will never forget. I've used it before. I'm just going to tell you about it tonight. But our girls, when they were little, you know, you play with Play-Doh, and they had a little Play-Doh set called the Fuzzy Pumper Barber Man. I don't know if they still have it out or if you remember it, okay? So the little barber man, you know, you put the Play-Doh up inside, and he has little holes all over his head, and you screw him on the little barber chair, and as you're screwing it, you know, all the little Play-Doh's coming out, and then you get to cut his hair. You know, so, I mean, the Lord told Damien to go get that. And so he started playing with it, and he did this demonstration at church on the putting off and putting on. The emphasis, and it was just like the light bulb went on. The emphasis was not on put off, but rather he took the Play-Doh and put on kindness, put on love, put on, and he's, you know, putting it up in there. And as you, the more you put on, the put off is much easier. It just comes out. It just falls away. It goes away. It disappears. His illustration was way better than that. But it just was like this light bulb. It's like, oh, okay, I still have to put off, but I don't have to focus on that. I need to focus on the putting on. Romans 13:14 says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, but put on Jesus. The more I put Jesus on, there's no room for the rest. It gets removed, purged from my life. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, Karen, don't think about, don't focus on putting off. Focus on yielding. Focus on walking in the Spirit. Do these things. Put on Jesus. Yield to Him. The more intentionally, and that's a word we've been using this year, being intentional in our walks, being intentional in our growth. So if we intentionally put on, the less we will have to think about putting off, because the desire for those things, it just diminishes. So many people can stand up and testify that when they were new believers, they had a hot temper, or they had roaming eyes, or they wanted, or whatever it might be. And they can stand up and testify, I have more of Jesus in my life. I don't even want those things. I don't need those things. I don't think about those things, whatever those things are in your individual lives. Because the more we put Jesus on, the less of a desire. The temptations still come. There's no doubt about that. Look at David. I mean, you have that many wives and concubines, and you're still tempted by one woman. I mean, it happens. But the more we set our mind on the things above and fill our hearts and our minds with the Lord, the less of the other stuff. Because our thoughts determine our behavior and develop our character. So when we start putting on and having our mind on the things that are pure and righteous, and I love the New Living Translation of Colossians 2, of setting our minds on the things above. It says, let heaven fill your thoughts. I mean, what a wonderful thing to meditate. Let heaven fill my thoughts. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Another favorite verse of many of us. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Good verse to memorize. I learned a little song, which I'm very glad I did, because sometimes when my thoughts are not going where they should be going, I start singing that song. And then it gets my mind in the right direction to be thinking. So we need to be intentional about our thinking and thinking good things. Choosing what to think about. Choosing good thoughts. Choosing positive thoughts. I was born a negative person. The glass is half empty. That's my nature. And God has turned that around to where now I can see the glass half full or more than full because of the potential that the Lord has to fill that cup. So he can do that, but it's taken years for me. We need to be intentional to dwell and meditate on the Word of God, on spiritual things. Again, let heaven fill your thoughts. The more we do this, it becomes automatic. It becomes the natural thing. We are reprogramming our brain. We're reprogramming our thinking. And some of us need a big overhaul on that because we really battle. And that hopefully tonight, this will be the night where you shift gears and start thinking on those good things. We're to replace any negative or ungodly thought with something positive, right? Thoughts about any negative thought about God, about his character, if it doesn't match who he is and his heart, that needs to be arrested, held captive. Any negative, wrong thought about another person. Have you ever had a wrong thought about another person? I mean, how many times today? We do. It's our natural bent, and it has to be fought. So we have to bring that captive. Any wrong, negative thought about yourself. Have you ever had a negative thought about yourself? How many times today, right? Or a situation, or a circumstance. Have you ever been fearful? Have you ever felt defeated? All of those things have to be arrested. Now, I read somewhere that someone called these things ants. Automatic negative thoughts. Ants. Automatic because we've conditioned our thinking. Because whatever we sow, we reap. And then it just again and again and again, right? So ants. So whenever we feel sad, mad, nervous, negative, anxious, desire ungodly things, all those are ants. He suggests writing those down and then asking yourself, are these thoughts true? Am I really blah, 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 whatever you think you are? Or is this really going to happen because this is what I have been making up in my head or whatever it might be? and ask yourself, are these thoughts helping you or hurting you? Thoughts lie to us. They lie a lot. They look real good and they sound convincing, but they lie. Unquestioned or uninvestigated thoughts lead us down an unhealthy and a dangerous path. So when we don't challenge the thought, when we don't say, hey, is that true? Are they really, whatever it might be, am I really, is this really going to take place? Is this really what's happening? When we don't challenge that and question that, it leads us down the wrong path. It will determine our behavior. So we need to take the thought captive and we need to match it against the word of God. It's not enough just to say, is this true or is this helping me or hurting me? I need to match it against the word of God. What does the word of God say about this thought that I am thinking about myself, about another person, about this circumstance, this situation, this feeling, this whatever it might be? What does God's word say about it? Is this thought true? Is it noble? Is it pure? Is it just? Is it lovely? Is it good? Is it virtuous? And if we write down these ants and we find a verse that combats it, that comes against it, exposes it for what it is, that's a lie, that is not true, that's going to lead you down a wrong path. This is what God's word says. So when we do that, and then we can say, okay, this is my thought, this is what the word of God says, then we ask ourselves, which one am I going to believe? Which one am I going to now think twice about and think three times about? Am I going to think about this? Am I going to think about the word of God and the truth? Oh, so I'm going to then take the word of God. This is captive. This has been proven false. And now I'm going to develop a healthy pattern now and think on the truth, because then that truth is going to determine my behavior and it's going to shape my character. It's going to develop me as a godly person. These are very practical things, and maybe 90% of us are saying, oh, no kidding, we learned this. I learned this as a brand new Christian or whatever. You know, so did I. But even for me walking with the Lord as long as I have, I'm reading these verses, writing these things down, going, oh, God, thank you for the truth and the power of your word that will help me to combat the thoughts in my own life, in my own mind, so that my thoughts don't determine my behavior in this way, but that my thoughts are your thoughts and your thoughts determine my behavior and develop my character. Praise you, Lord, for this simple truth. That's not easy to apply, but he gives us the power to do that. This morning, I am battling certain thoughts. I'm out on a walk. I know this. I'm going to practice it. I'm trying to bring it into captivity, but this one thought did not want to go away. And finally, I'm walking, and out loud, I said, stop it right now and get a grip. You stop thinking about that and replace it. And that, by God's grace, his power, I did that. I started singing these songs that I sing go back to when I first got saved. So I start singing these silly, salty songs, or, you know, the salty, the singing songbook, or, you know, I mean, those kind of songs. But it replaced. It's like, you know, you walk with the Lord this long and you think you're not going to have to battle that, but you are. We all do. Thank you, Lord, for this simple, simple truth. So I don't know. How about you today? Did you have an ant in your brain, in your thoughts? Anybody have an ant in their brain, in your thought? If you have a piece of paper and a pencil, write it down right now. Just write it down. Or, and if you don't have a piece of paper and a pencil, you know, not that I want you to dwell on the thought, but at least you have to have it on hold over here. Okay? And then I want you to find a scripture. Find a scripture to combat that ant, to combat that thought. And I found one for myself. And if you can't think of one, ask your neighbor. Right now. Just, you need a scripture. Somebody will give you a scripture for that particular ant that needs to be arrested. It needs to be held captive. And Jesus needs, he will give you that, the word. And then you can start thinking on the truth. And put that into practice. If you and if I am intentional about doing this every single time a thought, an ant comes into our minds, the less we're going to have to put off, because we are putting on. When we arrest the ants and we replace them with the truth of God's word, we are sowing to our spirits. And we will reap good fruit from that. We are putting on. So Colossians goes on to say, and Ephesians goes on to say, these things that we're to put on. We're to put on tender mercies. We're to put on kindness. We're to put on humility. We're to put on meekness. We're to put on long-suffering. We're to make allowances for one another. We are to forgive one another. We are to love one another. We are, if we're sowing to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit just naturally flows out of our lives. So if we are battling, we need more of the Word of God. We need more of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives. Someone said that your character is the sum total of your habits, meaning your character reveals your habits, which means other people can see in our lives what our minds are set on, what we're putting on, because our thoughts determine our behavior and develop our character. So if my character's right and I'm walking with the Lord and he's flowing through my life, then people are going to say, she's sowing to the Spirit. She's not perfect. She's going to stumble. She's going to have issues and trip and stumble and all that. But for the most part, she's sowing to her Spirit. But when we see someone who is continually defeated and their behavior or what's coming out of their mouth or their lives or whatever, well, she's sowing to the flesh. Her thought life is not on the things above. Don't get paranoid and start, you know, analyzing everyone. But it's just, I mean, it's a spiritual law. Garbage in, garbage out. Good stuff in, good stuff out. Good habits and walking in the Spirit is a habit. You have to develop a habit. It's a will. It's a choice. Good habits take time to develop. They say it takes about 6 weeks to break a habit and about 6 more weeks to develop a new habit, to make it like, okay, now this is an automatic thing. This is it. But it has to be continual. Otherwise, you're back where you started. So don't give up. It takes time. Encourage one another. But any kind of change or being intentional is a choice. It's our choice. We need to choose to walk in the Spirit. We need to choose to set our mind on the things above. You know, and we're not really conscious of this. You know, you wake up in the morning and you don't, well, I'm going to set my mind on the things of the Lord today. You know, I mean, we don't do that. But when we spend time with the Lord, we're putting on. We have the worship music on. That's very good for our minds and our thoughts. We're reading the Word, washing our minds with His Word. We're putting on. And then the first time the other thought comes in, if we, you know, bring it into captivity, we're developing this habit. Even though we may not be conscious of it, although we need to be intentional. But it's life-changing. And it's freeing. And God empowers us to do that. So this is a very simple truth. Probably, as I said, 95% of you already know this. You've already heard this. You're practicing it. But it's good to be reminded. I need to be reminded 100,000 trillion times on everything. It's a practical, so it's a simple truth. It's a practical way to apply the truth to our lives, but it's not an easy one. It doesn't happen overnight. Practice makes permanent. Doing something over and over and over and over again. So be careful how you think. Because your life is shaped by your thoughts. And let heaven fill your thoughts. And Father, that is our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your truth and the power of your truth and the power of your Holy Spirit to work these things into our lives. And Lord, for those who this is fairly new to them, I pray that you would plant it deep in their hearts. Bring it to the forefront of their minds. Help them, Lord, to put these things into practice. And Lord, for those who have walked with you for a long time and this is their daily practice, I pray that there would be a renewal and a refreshness to it, and you would empower them to rise up so that their minds are stayed on you and that heaven continually fills their thoughts. Thank you again, Lord, for your truth and the power behind your truth to change our lives. Lord, help us not to forget. Help us this to just be ingrained in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the work that you've done in us. For how far you've brought us, Lord. Thank you that we are in your grip and that you who have begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close in a song.